Well, welcome to part two of this four-week series that we're calling Slaying Goliath. And even if you've never read the Bible before in your entire life, we've all heard the story of David and Goliath. But it's interesting, so many people have made it into a catchphrase or cliche used in self-help inspiration. Like, hey, just believe in yourself enough and you can overcome any obstacle in life. But the story of David and Goliath, it's so much bigger than that, so much more important than that, so much more than just actually about David. The story of David and Goliath is actually found in the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, and it takes place about 1,000 years or so, 1,000 BC, so about 1,000 years or so before the life of Jesus. And at that time, Saul was the king of God's chosen people, the Israelites, but Saul had turned his back on God, so God decided to anoint a new king, and who he chose was a young shepherd named David. And David ended up being the greatest king who, greatest Israelite king who had ever lived, but before David could become king, he had to face Goliath. Goliath, a giant of a man and a champion warrior for the Philistines, challenged the Israelites to send out a warrior to fight him in single-hand combat to determine the outcome of the war, but not one Israelite soldier stepped up to fight him because they knew Goliath was unbeatable. And then out of nowhere, David, who was still nothing more than a young shepherd at that time, volunteered. And you know how the story goes. David killed the unbeatable Goliath by striking him in the head with a stone. But the reality is that David being prepared, David having the ability to slay Goliath, it didn't happen by chance. The only reason David was able to step onto that battlefield, the only reason David had the courage to face Goliath, the only reason that David was able to slay Goliath and experience all that God wanted for him was because he decided to defeat some opposing internal giants first. And here's what I believe to be true. I believe that like David, God has a plan for your life, a plan for what he wants to do in you, a plan for what he wants to do through you, and all that God wants for you is far greater than you could even imagine. But like David, there will be Goliaths that stand in the way of all that. And the only way you'll be able to have the courage to face those Goliaths, the only way you'll be able to slay those Goliaths is to defeat some opposing internal giants first. Like David, to experience all that God wants for you requires defeating the internal giants that stand in opposition against you. So, throughout this series, we're looking at four opposing internal giants that David faced and the decisions that he made to defeat those giants that gave him the ability to slay Goliath. And I believe if you choose to do this, if you choose to make those same decisions, you can slay the Goliaths that stand in the way of what only God can give you, of what God wants for you, of what God wants to do in you, of what God wants to do through you, of God's plan for you. The first internal giant that David defeated that we looked at last week is the internal giant of apathy. And if you missed last week, I'd encourage you to go back and watch that sermon, because in order to slay the Goliath that stand in your way at some point in time, you're going to have to defeat this internal giant first. Today, the second internal giant that we're going to look at that stands in opposition against what God wants for us is the internal giant of inadequacy. Many years after the prophet Samuel told David that he would be the next king of Israel someday, the Israelites, of whom Saul is still the king over, went to war with the Philistines, and here was the scene. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soko in Judah. They pitched camp in Ephes-Damim between Soko and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites the other, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was 6 cubits and a span, which means he was about 9 feet tall. So imagine Shaq plus 2 feet. All right, this dude is huge. And not only was he ginormous, he was a mighty warrior who was heavily, heavily armed. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Are you not servants of Saul?" And by the way, him saying that, he just mocking them. I mean mocking them, because the Israelites, they believed they were the chosen servants of the one true living God. And Goliath's going, "No, you're not. You're servants of that weak King Saul who ain't even brave enough to come out and fight me. So choose a man to have him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. Then the Philistine said, this day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight together. And then on hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. For 40 days, not one Israelite soldier stepped up to fight Goliath because they were terrified. They were looking at him going, this just ain't possible. He can't be beat. As we talked about last week, David's three oldest brothers heard Goliath taunt them for 40 days because they were part of the Israelite army, but David was not part of the Israelite army. David, he was still back at home watching his father's sheep during these 40 days. And then one day, David's dad gave him an errand to deliver food to his brothers who were on the front line. Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up, and set out as Jesse, his father, had directed him. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the other Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and asked his brothers how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance that he had shouted every day for the last 40 days, twice a day. And for the first time, David heard it. And the moment that David heard it, he immediately felt this internal prompting, this internal stirring, this nudge, this conviction that he should step up and step out onto the battlefield and face Goliath. And in that moment, the internal giant of inadequacy poked its ugly head. You're far too young. You're far too inexperienced. You're far too underarmed. You're far too small. You're far too outmatched. You're just a shepherd boy. You can't do this. You don't have what it takes. You should just turn around and go home because you are in way, way, way over your head. And I guarantee you felt the internal giant of inadequacy opposing you as well. If you're a follower of Christ, if you've put your faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of your sins, your Savior, and the leader of your life, your Lord, your God, sooner or later, you will feel God calling you into something. You will feel Jesus inviting you to take a step of faith to follow him. You will feel an internal prompting, stirring, conviction, nudge, this sense of ought to step out in faith, to serve, to lead, to speak up, to walk into, to walk away from, to give to take on that challenge or that opportunity. And it's way over your head. It's far greater than yourself. It's way outside of your comfort zone. It's scary. It's uncomfortable. It's overwhelming. It's a Goliath. And almost as soon as that internal prompting comes, the internal giant of inadequacy picks its ugly head and opposes you by whispering, you're not qualified for this. You are too ill-equipped. Someone else would do it better. You're too young. You're too old. You're too inexperienced. You don't know enough. You're not smart enough, tough enough, rich enough, relational enough, pretty enough, strong enough. You don't have what it takes. You'll do nothing but fail. And you quickly are filled with fear and doubt. And then very quickly, we feel inadequate to do what we feel God calling us to do, what Jesus inviting us to do. So we quit. We turn back. We never start. We tuck our tail between our legs and we go home because we're in way over our heads and we're defeated. We're defeated by the internal giant of inadequacy, and therefore we never experience all that God wants for us, all that God wants to do in us, and all that God wants to do through us. And for some of you, that has been the story of your life up until this point. Like you and like me, David was being opposed by the internal giant of inadequacy. But unlike many of us so often are, David was not defeated by it. David defeated this internal giant. And because he defeated it, he was confident that he could step onto that battlefield and slay Goliath. David didn't defeat the internal giant of inadequacy by mustering up faith or by positive self-talk, or by being an optimistic person, or being delusional about his abilities, or having a false sense of self-confidence, and like, I can do anything I put my mind to. David defeated this internal giant by making a decision. And the decision David made to defeat inadequacy was to do what only he could do by using what God had given him. And what God had given him through all those years and all those experiences of being a shepherd was the skills, the knowledge, the alertness, the craftiness, the skill, the strengths, the tools, and the weapons of a shepherd. After David heard Goliath, he went to soldier after soldier after soldier saying, if you don't fight him, I will. If you won't fight him, I will. If you won't fight him, I will. Well, word of that quickly got back to King Saul. So Saul summoned David, and David is now standing in front of Saul, and he says to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go fight him. And I'm sure Saul admired David's zeal, appreciated David's zeal, but David's zeal didn't give Saul any confidence. So Saul responded by reinforcing how inadequate David was. Saul replied, you're not able. You are not able. And listen, isn't this true? Sometimes the giant of inadequacy does not impose us internally, does it? Sometimes it opposes us externally through others. You're not able. You're not able. You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man. You're only a high school student. You're only a stay-at-home mom. You're not able. You're not able to go out and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. David, you are far too young, far too inexperienced, far too underarmed, far too small, far too outmatched. You're not a soldier, David. You're a shepherd. You can't do this. At which point, many of us would have said, you're right. What was I thinking? I'm not able to do that. And we would tuck tail and run home. But not David. David looks back at King Saul and says, you know what, King? You're right. I'm just a shepherd. But let me tell you about my experience of being a shepherd. See, many times over the years, King Saul, a lion or a bear would come into the flock, and they would take one of my sheep. And when they took one of my sheep, I had to go fight that lion, and I had to go fight that bear. And many times, I had to kill many lions, and I had to kill many bears in order to save the lives of my sheep. And then David said, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me. I'm confident of this from the hand of this Philistine. And at this point, Saul really didn't have any other choice than to leave the fate of himself and the Israelites in the hands of David, because no one else was stepping up. So Saul conceded, go and the Lord be with you, because you're going to need him. I imagine that Saul thought, we're screwed. Like, we are in trouble. We have no chance, especially if he goes out there looking like that. which is why what Paul did next makes absolute perfect sense. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened his, Saul's sword, over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to him. And because he was not used to them, because he had never used them, because they were not what God had given him, he felt inadequate with them. And so David decided, I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. He's saying, King, as you accurately pointed out, I'm not a soldier. I'm a shepherd. So I'll go ahead and do what only I can do by using what God has given me. And then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. He approached Goliath with confidence. And the reason he defeated the internal giant of inadequacy, the reason he was confident that he could slay Goliath, is because he made the decision to do what only he could do by using what God had given him. And what God had given him was the skills and the knowledge, the alertness, the craftiness, the strength, the tools, the proficiency, the weapons of a shepherd. Here's the big idea. The internal giant of inadequacy stands in opposition against what God wants for you and for me and for us. And we defeat inadequacy by, like David, deciding to do what only we can do and using what God has given us. I want to show you another example of this decision, and it's from one of the most familiar stories in the Bible. It's the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 recorded in the New Testament book of Matthew chapter 14. And as I go through this, some of you are going to be like, oh yeah, I know how this story goes. I've heard it many times. But I just want you to listen to this story with fresh ears, because in the middle of this familiar story, Jesus said something and did something powerful that we often miss. Something that causes tension within our faith. Something that will make the internal giant of inadequacy rear its ugly head in you. When Jesus heard what had happened, and what had happened was his cousin John the Baptist has been executed. When Jesus heard about this, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the town. So Jesus is trying to get by himself to mourn the death of his cousin John the Baptist, but it didn't work out too well. A large crowd heard that Jesus' boat was in the area, so they went out, they found him. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, and I love this, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. I mean, isn't that so cool? Like, even in the midst of his sorrow and his pain and his mourning, he had compassion on them and served them and healed them. As evening approached, the disciples, and that's Jesus', you know, team, that's his team of 12 closest followers, his team of 12 disciples. As evening came, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." So the crowd, they probably walked a half a day to find Jesus, and now they're with Jesus, and Jesus is teaching them, and he's healing their sick, and it's now very late in the day, it's into the evening, and they're tired, and they're hungry, and the disciples are tired, and the disciples are hungry, so they look at Jesus and say, "Jesus, we're in the middle of absolutely nowhere. These people need to eat. We think it's time that you send them away so they can go find themselves some food." And this is where the story gets rich as it relates to your and my experience. Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away," and here's a statement we often miss. You give them something to eat. And don't dismiss this, or don't miss this. The disciples saw a need, the disciples saw a problem, and they asked Jesus to do something about it. And Jesus, in turn, asked the disciples to do something about it. To be part of the solution to the problem. Jesus looks at him and says, "Listen, guys, I recognize the same thing you do. I recognize they're hungry, that we're in the middle of nowhere, there's no food around, that they need to eat. But guys, they don't need to go anywhere. You give them something to eat." And the disciples knew that this was an insurmountable, impossible Goliath because there are thousands of people. The moment that the 12 disciples heard Jesus say this, I'm sure they felt an internal prompting, stirring, conviction, nudge that they should step up and face this Goliath. But the internal giant of inadequacy immediately poked its ugly head, so they started doing what we do, which is justify why they couldn't and why it wasn't possible. Jesus, we have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. In other words, Jesus, we can't do this. You got the wrong guys. It's not possible with what we have. I imagine them looking back at Jesus, rolling their eyes like we do and saying, I can't do that. I'm not qualified. I'm too ill-equipped. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too inexperienced. I'm not smart enough, tough enough, rich enough, relational enough, pretty enough, strong enough, skilled enough. This is for someone who has more faith than me, more knowledge than me, more education than me, more experience than me. They look at Jesus and say, Jesus, we're not capable of doing what you're calling us to do. We're not capable of doing, Jesus, what you're inviting us to do. And then Jesus looked back at them and said, I didn't know that. You're right. I'll go find someone else. No, he did not. I love what Jesus said next, because what Jesus says next is really the invitation to all of us. Jesus said, bring them, the bread and the fish, here to me. There they stood with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus invited them to do what he invites all of us to do. Bring me what you got. Bring me what you got. And here I, here you, here we stand with our loaves and our fish. And some of us have more loaves than fish, and some of us have more fish than loaves. We don't all have the same talent, the same resources, the same capability, the same capacity, the same strengths, the same experiences, but we all have something. And Jesus' invitation to all of us is, you want what only I can give you. You want me to do something powerful in you and through you. You want to experience all that I have for you. Well, I want you to bring me what you got. Bring me the time, the passion, the experience, the talent, the education, the resources you do have. Trust me enough to bring me what you do have and watch what I can do with it. And so they do. And he, Jesus, directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. And then Jesus did something crazy, something the disciples definitely weren't expecting. Then he, Jesus, gave them to the disciples. Don't miss this. Jesus gave back to them what they just handed him. Jesus gave back to them what they handed him. And I'm sure they're thinking, now what? And if we were to take what they did next and apply it, it would be a game changer, not just for what God wants to do through you, but for what he wants to do in you. And the disciples gave them to the people. Once Jesus gave the bread and the fish back to them, here's what they did. They decided to do what only they can do with what Jesus gave them. They didn't know how to feed that huge crowd of people with such a little amount of food, but they knew that they could turn around and serve what they did have. So they decided to do what only they could do with what Jesus gave them. They did what only they could do and trusted Jesus knew what he was up to. Trusted Jesus might do something more with it. Trusted that somehow Jesus was going to come through. They knew if they didn't trust Jesus by doing what they could do with what Jesus gave them, that they would never know what he might do through them. So the disciples turned around and they walked into the crowd, hoping they wouldn't look like a total bunch of fools, trusting that Jesus would come through. And because of that, something remarkable happened, miraculous happened, that wouldn't have happened in any other way. They all the people who were there that day, ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The disciples defeated the internal giant of inadequacy by deciding to do what they could do with what Jesus gave them. And in turn, Jesus did what only he can do and made a few fish and a few loaves of bread multiply to feed thousands. And let me tell you what the disciples didn't do after this was over. They didn't walk away going, "We're amazing. We are awesome." They did what anyone does who experiences this dynamic does. They said, "We didn't do that. We can't take credit for that. We simply did what only we could do with what Jesus gave us, and Jesus did what only he can do and slayed that Goliath through us." We defeat inadequacy by deciding to do what only we can do and using what God has given us. Here's the reality. I am inadequate. I am inadequate to pastor this church. I am inadequate to successfully lead our church where God wants us to go. I am definitely inadequate to change anyone's life. And the reality is, you're inadequate too. You are inadequate to raise that child. You are inadequate to be the husband or wife that your spouse is worthy of. You're inadequate to do that job. You're inadequate to run that organization, to lead that team, to lead that T-Life group, to lead that next-gen small group, to step into that position. You're inadequate to heal your marriage. You're inadequate to navigate through that diagnosis, to take that opportunity, to change your circumstances, to overcome that obstacle, to overcome your anxiety, to overcome that sickness. You're inadequate to do what God calls you to do. And the reality is that Jesus' disciples were inadequate. They were inadequate to feed those 5,000 people that day. And the reality of it is that David was inadequate too. He was inadequate to slay the unbeatable Goliath. But here's what David was confident in. The Lord who rescued me. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of that guy. David was confident he could step onto that battlefield and slay Goliath, not because he felt adequate, but because he was confident in the adequacy of his God, confident in the power of his God, confident in what his God could do. And the reason that he was confident in that is because he made the decision day after day after day, year after year after year, long before he heard Goliath on that day, to do what only he could do by using what God had given him. And what God had given him was the weapons of a shepherd. So day after day, year after year, as the giant of inadequacy reared its ugly head when David faced lions and bears attacking his flock, David made the decision to do what he could do by using what God had given him. And through that decision, his life intersected with God's faithfulness, God's presence, and God's power through him. So when David heard Goliath that day and felt the internal prompting and stirring and conviction and ought to that can really only come from God to step onto that battlefield, he knew that he should step up and step out, and he did it with confidence that he could slay Goliath. And that's where we'll pick up David's story next week. An internal giant that David had to defeat to slay Goliath. An internal giant that stands in opposition against what God wants for us that we have to defeat as well is inadequacy. As I said earlier, if you're a follower of Christ, if you've put your faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of your sins, your Savior, and the leader of your life, your Lord, your God, sooner or later, you will feel God calling you into something. You will feel Jesus inviting you to take a step of faith to follow him. And you'll feel this internal prompting, this internal stirring, this conviction, this ought to step out in faith, to serve, to lead, to speak up, to walk into, to walk away from, to give to take on that challenge and opportunity that's way over your head, that's greater than yourself, that's outside of your comfort zone, that's scary, that's uncomfortable, that's overwhelming, that's a Goliath. And almost as soon as that internal prompting comes, the internal giant of inadequacy will peek its ugly head and oppose all that God wants for you, all that God wants to do in you, and all that God wants to do through you. We must defeat this internal giant. And we don't defeat it by mustering up faith, or by positive self-talk, or by being an optimistic person, or having a false sense of self-confidence, or by believing in ourselves enough. We defeat it by, like David, making a decision. We defeat inadequacy by deciding to do what only we can do and using what God has given us. And the outcome of that decision? The outcome of that decision is confidence. Not in ourselves, but in the adequacy of our God. In the power of our God. And in what only God can do in us and through us. Because, this is so important, the decision to do what only we can do by using what God has given us positions us to experience God's faithfulness in our lives and God's power in our weakness, in our inadequacy. This is just the way that God works. The people who decide to say yes, the people who decide to do what only they can do by using what God has given them, come out on the other side with extraordinary confidence and faith and trust in Jesus, because it's on the other side of that decision where we experience Jesus' presence, Jesus' power, and Jesus' faithfulness. But when we say no, when we don't do what only we can do by using what God has given us, when we are defeated by the internal giant of inadequacy, we'll never know what God is willing and able to do. And as a result, our faith and our confidence in God will become frail and feeble and weak. And if that happens, you will never be able to slay your Goliaths. So here's my question for you. What is something you feel Jesus may be prompting? Stirring. Nudging, inviting. What is something you feel Jesus may be prompting you to do? To follow him, but you feel inadequate for it. Maybe it's at home, at work, at school. Maybe it's within your marriage, with your parents, with your kids. Maybe it's sexually, financially, relationally, physically. Maybe it's with that person. Maybe it's with that need. Maybe it's in your hurt or your loneliness or your unforgiveness. Maybe it's to walk away from. Maybe it's to start something. Maybe it's with what you're going through right now. Maybe it's within our church. Maybe it's to start serving on a team, as John talked about earlier, or to engage in a small group. Maybe it's to step into a leadership position. If you want to experience all that God wants for you, then defeat the internal giant of inadequacy by deciding to say yes. Say yes even though you're not ready, because you'll never be ready. Say yes even though there's no guarantees of how it will work out. Say yes even though you're scared. Say yes even though it's way outside of your comfort zone. Say yes even though you're too ill-equipped. Say yes even though you are inadequate, because God is fully adequate. Say yes and decide, I'm going to do what only I can do and use the time, the resources, the talents, the strengths, the knowledge, the ability, the experiences, the personality, the voice, the compassion, the leadership that God has given me, and trust he will do what only he can do through that. Say yes now. Say yes today. Because if you wait to say yes until you're standing in front of Goliath, it's too late. Say yes now. Say yes today so that when the day comes that Goliath is standing in the way of what only God can give you, of what God wants for you, of what God wants to do in you, of what God wants to do through you, of God's plans for you, that you can slay Goliath. What is something you feel Jesus may be prompting you to do to follow him, but you feel inadequate for it? Defeat the internal giant of inadequacy today by deciding to do what only you can do and using what God has given you. If you do, when the day comes that Goliath is standing in the way of everything God wants to do in you and through you, you will then be able to say with confidence, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Listen, I can't talk about internal promptings without talking about one I believe that many of you have actually felt. I believe that some of you have felt the internal prompting, stirring, conviction, the sense of like, I ought to, and I can't believe I feel like I ought to put your faith in Jesus. To ask Jesus to be the forgiver of your sin and the leader of your life, but you haven't. Because you're scared, because you're nervous. Listen, if that's you, Jesus is inviting you into a saving relationship with him. He's inviting you to follow him today. Don't dismiss that prompting anymore. Don't dismiss it because of what God wants for you. Let me pray. Dear Lord, I fully realize that I do not have what it takes to do what you invite me to do and call me to do. And Lord, I pray that we all take a good hard look in the room or in the mirror and realize that we don't have what it takes to do what you call us to do and invite us to do. But you are inadequate, but you are adequate. You are enough. In our weakness, you are strong if we'll just choose to do what only we can do and use what you've given us. So today I pray that we make that decision. And through it, I pray that our confidence and trust in you grows. And Lord, for any person who's never put their faith in you, Jesus, and they feel that prompting to do it today, I pray that right now in this room, at home, they choose to do that. That in this moment, quietly where they are, they choose to confess their need for a Savior because their violation of sin broke their relationship with you, God. And in this moment, Jesus, I pray they declare that they believe that you are the Savior of the world, that you are their Savior, and you prove that you are, and you can be because of your death and resurrection. And right now, Jesus, I pray that they ask you to be their Savior. That right now they put their faith in you and ask you to be the forgiver of their sins and the leader of their life. They declare that they want to follow you as their Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.